Hello and welcome back to Twin Birth Stories. This is a safe space for all twin mums like myself to come on and chat about conception, pregnancy, birth and delivery and life as a twin mum now. If this is something you are interested in, you can head on over to my Instagram page at Twin Birth Stories. If you enjoyed this episode, please give my page a follow and a 5-star review. In this episode, I speak to Julie. Julie introduces her 3 kids and her twin boys who are 6 months. Julie talks us through her birth and delivery, where she had 1 vaginal birth with her son Charlie and an emergency C-section with Jack. Julie talks very emotionally about the moment she reunited with her daughter after being in hospital for 5 days, which was so lovely to listen to. Julie's story is just lovely and great, gives great advice to twin moms to be. Sit back and enjoy Julie's episode. Hello and welcome back to Twin Birth Stories. I am joined today by Julie. Julie, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. If you want to start off by introducing yourself.
Yeah, sure. I'm Julie. So I am the mother of a 2.5-year-old little girl, Ellie. And I have 6-month-old twin boys, Jack and Charlie. So very, very busy at the moment, juggling.
But yeah. Was being a mom, Judy, something you've always wanted?
Yes, always wanted. And it was the same for my partner. We met kind of later on in life. So from the moment we met, both of us said we wanted children. And it was an ambition of ours. So once we decided we were ready, yeah, it was all guns blazing, because I have polycystic ovaries. Okay. So I knew it wasn't going to be an easy road to get pregnant. So I had been seeing a gynecologist in the Coombe Hospital, Tina Murphy is her name, since I was in my early 20s. And I kind of knew what was going to be happening, what was going to be involved, should I say. I had a sister that had trouble as well. So I always prepared myself. So yeah, as soon as we decided we wanted to get pregnant, I went into her and I started planning. So we spent a couple of years on all different hormone treatment, basically. And yeah, it was a long 2 years. Nothing was working properly. And then it kind of came to a stage whereby Kleena had done as much as she could to help me. Okay. And she referred me over to an endocrinologist in Tallaght Hospital. Lucy Ann Behan is her name, also a brilliant doctor. And funnily enough, Lucy Ann Behan said, right, we're going to wipe the slate clean. We're going to start all over again, come off everything for a month, and we're going to start on a new treatment plan. So it was coming up to Christmas at that stage, and I came off everything for the month, was about to start the new treatment plan, and had scheduled an appointment to go back into Lucy Ann, and I was pregnant.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
So just, yeah, it happened after being off everything for a month. But like, you know, it was fantastic, and we couldn't believe our luck at the time. But everybody always goes, oh, see, I told you, all you need to do is relax. And that's the last thing you want to hear, you know?
If someone tells you that as well, it's so hard to relax. But it does seem to happen all the time. You're trying, and then when you stop, but it's easier for someone to tell you, absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, there had been a lot involved, you know. I was seeing a dietitian as well, and I've changed my whole kind of lifestyle, you know. I did a lot of work towards it. My consultant always slagged me as well. She said I was the most determined person she'd ever met. So there was a lot involved, but yeah, I became pregnant with Ellie, and yeah, we were over the moon. So she was born in September of the following year, and we decided to get married then. So we always said we wanted 4 children at the start. Then, of course, we were a bit old and we're like, okay, well, we're lucky here to have 1. So we hadn't got married at that stage. So we said, right, we get married, and we decided to get married in 6 months, so we could try again, basically, because I always said I didn't want to be a pregnant bride. So we got married the following September, and pretty soon after that, I said, right, we can start trying again, expecting a whole journey to happen. And yeah, we got pregnant again within a few months, completely naturally. So it was amazing. I was fairly shocked now myself when it happened.
And did you prepare your mind for a long 2-year journey again now?
Absolutely, and that's the reason why we kind of started so quickly. Like we had our honeymoon coming up in the February and everything, you know. I didn't expect at all to get pregnant so quickly. Yeah, I got pregnant in the December, and
Wow.
yeah, completely shocked. But the funny thing was, it took us so long on the first pregnancy that I always said I'd love twins on the first pregnancy. Never in my mind did I ever think on the second one. Didn't even cross my mind that the twins would come on the second pregnancy. So
Wow.
and yeah, so we went into again, we went to the same consultant that I've been seeing all those years, and we were going on our honeymoon in the February. So I wanted to make sure all was okay to travel. And went in to have an appointment with her, have a scan, and yeah, did the scan, and she's like, yep, you know, there's the baby, all looks good, brilliant. Definitely only one. I was like, oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. And then she goes, actually, hold on. No. She actually, that's not true. I said, thank God, when she said it was only
Oh,
one.
stop.
And then she goes, oh, hold on a second. Do you see what I see, Julie? And I was like, what do you see, Cliona? What do you see? And my husband was in the corner of the room going white. she yeah, found another baby in there, and the two of us just kind of were in shock for, well, I would think I was laughing nervously, but my husband was just shocked in the corner. So it was fairly entertaining. But yeah, we got our twins on the second pregnancy.
Wow. Wow. So how did you get your head around this now? What was the
Yeah,
days of the following?
so that was literally the week before we flew out. So we were going to Dubai and the Philippines. My friend was actually getting married in the Philippines. And I don't think we've ever been so quiet in our lives. I think we were just taking it all in. Yeah, it took us a few weeks to get around, and I was actually quite sick at that point as well.
Okay.
So traveling with a toddler, we brought our toddler on the honeymoon.
On.
So it took us a few weeks, and I obviously had to tell everybody that was there at the wedding because they knew something to be up. But yeah, I was quite sick at the start. But nothing too severe at the very start of the pregnancy.
Okay.
But I suffer quite badly with pelvic girdle pain and hips on my first pregnancy. And yeah, that hit fairly early on then.
Okay.
I think it was about 20 weeks when that
Okay.
started kicking in.
Well, so do you want to then compare the two pregnancies, being a mom of a singleton and twins then? So what different, like I said, I know you said you've the pelvic pain. So what was different between the two of them?
Well, I suppose with Ellie, with my first pregnancy, I was flying. I'm self-employed. I'm a photographer, so my job is very active. I do school photography, and I do family portraits, and I work with little kids all the time, you know. So I'm on the floor crawling around, and everything is really low and active, and you know, moving constantly. So with Ellie, I worked right up all the way, not a bother on me, and I was like flying around. I did start getting bad hips in the last trimester, but not quite as bad. I had all the supports and everything. It was painful but bearable. Only in the last kind of month or two. So compare that to the twin pregnancy. That kicked in at 20 weeks with the twin pregnancy, and it got so bad that I was actually on crutches by the end of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like really, really severe. Now, I don't know if that was all, you know, just the pelvic girdle pain and the hips. Sorry, I can't think of the name. But I think my job probably contributed to
Okay.
how much pain I was in. So I had to stop working quite a lot earlier with that. And as I said, I was on the crutches, so it took kind of right up until probably the last month for it to settle down a bit, because I literally had to sit. Like I used to cry getting out of the car, walking from the car to
Oh my
my hall
God.
door. There was once or twice I had to call my husband to help me into the house. Like, yeah, it was really bad.
Wow, and did you get put on bed rest, Julie, then?
Yeah, so the last few weeks I literally just have
Yeah.
to sit with my feet up. I suffer quite badly as well with the veins, varicose veins. So my right side for some reason got really, really bad this time around. So that's another thing I'd advise, especially for twin pregnancy, get the the supports really early on. Nobody ever advised me to get the support of tights and stuff. I should have been wearing them since the start. If you're susceptible to it, you should be wearing them the whole pregnancy. Whereas I only started wearing them towards the end when a doctor flagged it with me. So definitely, and the proper ones as well, like they're expensive to buy, but sure, you could save yourself a lot of hassle afterwards. So yeah, the first pregnancy, the varicose veins disappeared after I gave birth, but this time they haven't. So yeah.
Okay, brilliant. And how did you plan then? So how did you plan preparation wise? Because you had already had your daughter at home, were you really, you know, organized, say, for your pregnancy with her and your birth and delivery with her? And then were you the same or different then with your twins, or were you just like, get these babies out of me, or I'm too busy, or how was all that for you?
Oh yeah, so I definitely was wishing my pregnancy away on the second time round. I organized for the twins? Absolutely no way, but I knew I had everything I needed. So thankfully I had some family come over towards the end and help me sort out stuff. But yeah, it's so much harder when you've got a toddler in tow.
Yeah,
life is so busy. But was I more organized with Ellie? Yeah, I'd say I probably was more organized with Ellie, although I was more nervous, you know, because you don't know what to expect on your first time around. Your second time around, yeah, wasn't as organized, but I was more laid back about it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's nice getting organized for your first as well, and labeling the bags and having everything ready already. And then for your second one, you're just like, okay, I'm used to this. Yeah. So how was then the day or two before your delivery, Julie? So I know you had a vaginal birth with Charlie, your son, and then you had an emergency C-section with Jack. So do you want to talk me through the day or two before, how you're feeling, and then talk me through then your labour and delivery, if you're okay with that?
Yeah, well, it was actually, so my consultant went away for 2 weeks just coming up to my delivery time, and I had to go see a different consultant in her absence, and he saw me on the crutches and he said, listen, you're not going to be able to continue on to the 37 weeks, you know, if this continues we're going to get you in ASAP. And in the 2 or 3 weeks that I saw him, it had slightly started to improve. So in my head I prepared myself to be giving birth imminently when my consultant got back. And then she saw me and she thought it was all a hoax because I had started to improve slightly. So she ended up leaving me until 37 plus one. And she booked in me to be induced that day if nothing else had happened. So it was all very convenient that morning. I slept the night through.
Brilliant.
I got up early to get my bit of breakfast and like finish packing things. Went down to the kitchen, turned on the kettle, and my water's broke. So it was all very convenient. And yeah, so that was fine. Packed up everything. Sorry, I moved. I'm a dub, you can probably hear, but I moved to Navan. So kind of just given ourselves the extra bit of time to get up to the Coombe. That's where we were attending.
Okay.
So
sorry, Judy, did your waters break with your daughter?
No, they didn't. They had to be broken.
So first time now your waters have broken naturally.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So went up to Dublin and got into we had to see a nurse before I got admitted anywhere. So she brought me into the room. At this stage, as you can imagine, with all the pain and everything else going on, I was ready for these babies to be out, and got a lovely nurse. She laid me down on the bed, she did all the checks, and she goes, "Now, you've been brought in because you're actually going home today." And I went, she obviously saw my face like drop. And I said, "My waters are broken." And she goes, "Oh, well, that's just as well, because I just saw your face. Yeah, you weren't going anywhere." So she says, "If your waters are broken, you'd be fine." So yeah, I couldn't have imagined being sent home again. God love anybody that happens to. So I was admitted anyway. But contractions had started, but they were fairly mild at that stage. I got put on the ward. And they said, "Listen, we're gonna let everything progress naturally because your waters have broken. So we're not gonna speed things along like for the sake of it. You know, we'll see how it goes." So yeah, it was down on the ward, and the contractions started coming on fairly sharp, you know, at one stage, and the nurses were coming and telling me, "Yeah, but you're not that far dilated, so maybe just wait another while." And then they were getting worse, and the same thing, not that dilated. And then a young nurse came in, and I was, see, I wanted an epidural. I said that to her. I was like, you know, I feel like I'm really far along, but everybody keeps telling me I'm not. I said, I need time to have an epidural. So I don't want to leave it too late that I can't. And she checked me and she goes, yeah, do you know what? I can't remember how many centimeters I was, but she said, theoretically, like, you're not as far along as we'd like, but your cervix is very soft or something like that. So she said, yeah, we'll organize you to go down to the delivery suite. So that all happened, got down to the delivery suite. Everybody was being really, really laid back. And at this stage, I was like, you know,
In active labor.
I was in active labor, yeah. And I knew the baby was coming. So I was kind of like, why is everybody being so relaxed about this? Where's the consultant? Where's the anesthetist? Like, what's gonna happen? So yeah, sure enough, I got to the stage where I was bearing down on Charlie, and I still hadn't had the epidural. So then the anesthetist walks into the room and tries to administer the epidural while I was bearing down on Charlie. And I was obviously crippled over with pain, and she was telling me to be still. And I was like, this baby's coming. And the only one that believed me was this young nurse that had been with me. So she still continued to try and administer the epidural. And I could tell by her she was very worried, and that something wasn't right. So she kind of said to me, okay, we can't do the epidural, but I've done a spinal tap and we'll discuss this later on. And she kept going, are you okay, Julie? Are you okay? And I could just tell by her, there was a worried look on her face. So anyway, I got a form of pain relief, and it was different. I got a full-on epidural with Ellie, and I was completely numb with Ellie, like so much so that I could barely feel pushing her out. Where this time I could feel, you know, pushing Charlie out. There was an element of
Pressure.
pressure, and yeah, but it wasn't like, I mean, it wasn't anything horrific. It was just different, I suppose. So yeah, sure enough, Charlie shot out. Didn't have to push for very long. I'd say maybe four pushes, he was out, less, three or four.
So how did the room change, Julie? Was everyone like, oh my God, she's been right all along? We didn't listen to her, or what?
Yeah, so
How was their reaction?
I think everybody was a bit shocked, like especially after the whole spinal thing.
Yeah.
My consultant had strolled in at that stage, and she delivered Charlie, and that was grand. Charlie was out, like all done. And then she goes, right, now how's Jack? Like, well, it wasn't Jack at that stage, but how's twin two? Are you feeling the same pressure? And I was like, no, I don't feel any pressure now. Like, there's nothing there to push. And she's like, oh, okay. So she said, I'm just going to go in and have a look. And hadn't Jack turned around a bit? So she had to do an internal then and try and turn him. Still couldn't get him. So she's a really, really wonderful woman. She's a great way of calming everyone. Yeah, no matter how concerning a situation will be, she'll always make everyone feel relaxed.
Brilliant.
So she just said, Julie, I haven't been able to turn him. We'll try one more time. If that doesn't work, we're just going to wheel you up to surgery. I'll try when we get up there to move him. And if that doesn't work, you're going to have to have a C-section. So that was that. I mean, what can you do about it? My husband was with Charlie at the time. She tried, wasn't working, and she said, right, we're going to go up to the theatre and we're going to try again. So we got up to the theatre, and yeah, at that stage, Jack had pretty much done a whole somersault and gone right back up into the top of my stomach. And she said, right, we're going to have the C-section. So of course the same anesthetist tried to give me, is it an epidural again?
Spinal.
Yeah, and it wasn't working. Tried a couple of times, wasn't working. I could still feel everything, so they had to put me under general anesthetic. And yeah, so that was obviously emotional because I wanted to be around for the birth of my children. I didn't want to be knocked out, I wanted to kind of see what was going on or meet them or have tummy time or skin to skin or whatever that you get. So I was just all in a rush, you know, put under. Peter wasn't there, Charlie wasn't there. And when I came to, I had the same anaesthesist hanging over me, like looking at me, Julie, are you okay? Julie, are you okay? And I just started roaring, crying because, you know, you just don't have time to catch up with what's going on.
No.
And it was like, okay, we're over it. Where's my baby? What happened? You know, all this, where's my husband? So yeah, I started roaring, crying. She's like, why are you crying? I was like, I don't know. I'm just emotional. But the other thing that happened when I woke up, I couldn't see. It took nearly an hour for me to be able to see. So I don't know if it was a combination of the drugs or I have a weird sensitivity to light with my eyes. So maybe because the theatre lights were so bright, I couldn't. So yeah, they wheeled me out of the theatre eventually and into a side room. And they said that they had to take Jack to a special unit. So they tried to let me see him for a second, but I couldn't actually see him. Peter had Charlie in the room with me and I was there. So after an hour anyway, everything started to calm down and I got some time with Charlie. But yeah, Jack had to be taken to a special unit for about 24 hours. They were worried about his blood sugars, but he was fine after that.
Wow. Yeah. So when do you remember then your partner coming in and when do you remember then meeting Charlie for the first time? They were two such different experiences, Julie, weren't they?
Yeah, it was. It was such, and the funny thing is, in the Coombe, they are very much, they very much try and steer you towards a vaginal birth if you can.
Okay.
If you decide to go C-section, that's fine, mm-hmm. but they do kind of try and steer you towards a vaginal birth, especially if you've already had one.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to me at the start, you know, what's your worst case scenario would be having one vaginal birth and then having to get a C-section on the other one because you'd have the worst of both worlds.
Mm.
So that was always like worst case scenario. What if that happened? It'd be a nightmare. But like in reflection, you know, it's not the worst thing that could happen. Your baby's being healthy. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to put all your trust in the doctors that they know what they're doing. And so, yeah, it was a very emotional thing, but yeah, it wasn't the worst thing in the world, you know.
Well done. Wow. So, that is a fear for twin moms to be, is that, you know, well, there's so much other obviously like anxieties that people might experience, but for delivery wise that you do have one vaginal, but when you look at it and you're someone who's gone through that and come out so strong on the other end, there's so much worse that could happen. But
so much
you know, if you're unaware of it, say, and you know, if you're not at the delivery stage, it does seem like the worst of the world, say. So when did you feel your sight coming back and when did you kind of feel yourself coming around after all that?
Yeah, so as I say, it probably took about an hour.
Yeah.
About an hour, and I knew Peter was beside me and
okay.
He had Charlie in his arms. This is when I got wheeled out of the theatre into a side room. He had Charlie in his arms, but I remember the nurse coming up and being like, here's, and she didn't hand Jack to me, but she tried to let me see him. And I was kind of rubbing my eyes. I was like, I can't see him. So she had to take him off then. But I was in, when I got put back on the ward, very kindly, the nurses said, listen, if Jack is okay later on, we'll try and bring him down to you for a few minutes to see him. So like, he was gone for 24 hours, but they did wheel him down to me for, I'd say, about 15 minutes that
okay.
evening. So I did get to see him for a little while.
Okay, and how was the experience then? So obviously Charlie's birth just seemed so much more straightforward, and then poor Jack and yourself then got the brunt of it in another way. So
yeah.
How was that for you then when you're up in the recovery or back in your ward, say, with the rest of the women, and you're sitting there with just Charlie? How was
yeah.
that feeling, or what's your emotions?
Well, fortunately, when you have a twin pregnancy, you get treated very, very well on the ward. So I was very lucky that I got a private room, and it was, you know, they had space for Peter to stay if he wanted. Now, I know people aren't supposed to stay, but you did have space there if you did want to stay, because with twins, obviously, you need an extra pair of hands. So yes, got treated like royalty, I have to say. The staff were amazing in the Coombe. And they were very good at coming in and helping me where possible, because obviously I had the vaginal birth and the C-section, so I was limited with movement. But yes, I got to spend some time with Charlie. Obviously wanted Jack down by me, plus I wanted to try and breastfeed, so it was all a bit of a juggle at first. But what happened was, down on the ward, oh gosh, how long into it was it? I think it was roughly 24 hours. So it was probably shortly after Jack had arrived back to the room, I started getting a really, really bad headache. And the anaesthetist had been in to me several times to check how I was doing and explain what happened and let them know if you do get a headache, it's very important to let them know. And yeah, so the headache started, and then it got worse and it got worse, and then it got to the stage where I couldn't sit up or stand up. And they came in and they were like, right, you have this thing called PDHP, so puncture, it's the lumbar puncture headache basically. So in other words, when she tried to administer the spinal tap, it punctures the lining of your spine, and whatever, it basically just gives you a headache. So I was very lucky. Mine only lasted, I'd say, a week, but it was a very painful week. Anytime you sit up or stand up, it hits. So the best way to be is to be lying flat. So you can imagine with two newborn twins and being told you have to lie flat. And the doctor's coming in and telling you all you can do is drink loads of coffee, drink loads of Coke, sugar, any of that kind of stuff, and then pumping you full of pain medication as well, for the pain. So yeah, it was excruciating for about a week, but thankfully mine started to ease off when I got home. I just wanted to get home because of Ellie and all the rest. Like, that you can do another surgery for PDHP if it doesn't start to ease off, but there's obviously risks involved with that. So a lot of people just kind of wait it out until it disappears, but it can last a fair while. So I was lucky that it didn't last too long. So yeah,
God,
that was another thing that
you poor thing. It was like
got
three areas of like pain for you.
Yeah.
Wow. So when did yourself, I'm guessing Charlie came home sooner then, because you said Jack was in the NICU, wasn't
Well, he was in a special unit for
it? Is
24 hours.
that
So I was in the hospital for 5 days, and
okay.
so I was able to bring the two of them home with me at the same time.
Brilliant. Okay, so talk me through then that experience and going home to see your daughter then. So how has it then been a family of
Oh
five?
my gosh, yeah, like that was the longest I'd ever been away from her,
I'd
and
say
like
so.
I cried when I was leaving with her, cried the whole
Oh.
way to the hospital, and then, oh, I'm even teared up now.
Yeah, oh, that's all right.
Like, I'll never forget how emotional I was, because you just, like, you miss them so much and you worry about them. But so we went from the hospital, because I didn't get let out until the evening time, because I had to go through all my checks. So we went back to my mom's house just to let her meet her two new grandkids. And then we went home, and at that stage it was too late. I knew Ellie would be too excited if she met her brothers then and wouldn't go to sleep. So I just walked into the living room, and Ellie was there, and the two of us just cuddled. And yeah, she was very, very cute. So we hid the boys up in our room, and I just, had some time with Ellie and put her to bed. So the next, oh God, I was still crying 6 months later.
That's all right.
So then the next morning, yeah, we woke up early, and I said, "Hey, we've got a surprise for you in our bedroom." And we brought her in, and oh, she was just so cute, like amazed with her brothers, and had cuddle with them on the bed. And yeah, like absolutely bizarre. It's funny because you think of them as babies, but she just naturally became like a little mum and wanting to look after them. So yeah, it was very, very cute, and she still is like that. Every 5 minutes she'll be kissing them and hugging them, and little Baba, she calls them, little Baba, you okay, little Baba?
Oh, that's
Ellie's here, Ellie's
brilliant.
here. Yeah.
Wow, and how was your pain, Judy, and stuff then? I'd say you had your daughter crawling all over you, giving you cuddles and stuff. So how was all that after?
Well, like, I'm not, I mean, I think I have a fairly high pain threshold, and I'm not one to sit around. Like, I wouldn't sit around naturally, and I kind of just get on with things even if I am in pain. So I would say I definitely overdid it.
Okay.
And I had the headaches, as I say, for the week, and thankfully they started to disappear. But having to lift a toddler, all the things that you're not supposed to do when you have a C-section. I like even remember walking into town, I think on the second week with my mum. And she kept on saying, "No, we'll drive in," and I kept saying, "No, we'll walk in and we'll be grand." And then I ended up walking around the shops because I wanted to have, obviously as a photographer, I wanted to have photos with my newborn twins and my daughter, and had nothing to wear because I felt like I was a blimp at the time. So I was walking around the shops looking for something to wear, and yeah, just kind of soldiered on, and I got home and I remember being in a lot of pain that night. So like, yeah, you just have to be so careful because you're so busy and you're looking after everything and everyone, and you soldier on, but then you pay for
Yeah.
it. So yeah, I definitely did overdo
Yeah. But it must be so different though,
it.
Julie, when you have a daughter, because she's a daughter to come home to or a son to come home to after having your twins, because they're used to you being active and constantly, giving them cuddles on demand. So when you're in pain like that, you can't tell your child no, and especially like in your case, when you're away from your daughter for 5 days, the last thing you want to do is that. But that's so lovely, your little reunited story. I loved hearing that. So yeah, how is twin mom life then with your twins and your family of five?
So it's like busy, very busy. Ellie had changed rooms in creche the week that the boys were born, so everything for her was new.
Okay.
So we certainly paid for it in that respect. She kind of acted up for the first 2 months, with all the change. But yeah, I mean, it's busy. Like, when you're a new mom and you have one baby. Well, I certainly got out of the house as much as I could. I breastfed, so I didn't have to sterilize all the bottles and all that kind of crack for the first 6 months. And I went to all these lovely little classes like baby massage and swimming and all those things. Went out and met my friends for coffee. But with twins, yeah, it's a whole different ball game because like. Well, they're 6 months now, so we're starting to get more of a sleeping schedule, that kind of thing. But they're two individuals, so they've different timings, they've different plans with the day, they have different sleep patterns, So every time you go to do something, one of them needs to be changed or fed or something happens. So like, yeah, like you barely leave the house for the first few months. I breastfed for. I think I breastfed for as long as I could. So for the first 3 months, I exclusively breastfed, I think, for a month, and then I started expressing and I'm sorry, I expressed as well. And then I started combination feeding them. So up until 3 months I expressed and that. Like it's I mean, I've so much admiration for people that can
Oh
tandem
yeah.
breastfeed.
Yeah.
I tried to so for the first month you have to feed them individually. As you probably know, so till they establish their feeding pattern, and then you can start trying to tandem feed them. That just kind of blew my mind,
It's funny,
the
I do as
whole
well.
time. Trying to juggle that part is like insane. So yeah, it wasn't really for me, even though I would have liked to have done it for longer. It wasn't really for me, so I expressed for as long as I could, and then I just put them on formula. So yeah, then that opens up a whole different can of worms, having to clean bottles and do all that stuff. And boys are hungrier. Well, I think boys are hungrier
Definitely, yeah. Yeah,
these two
brilliant.
boys are.
And what would be your advice then, Julie, to a twin mom to be or a twin mom listening?
So 100% get into the pattern of feeding them at the same time. Because you'd spend your life feeding them otherwise. I had so funnily enough, my husband's best friend had twin boys the same time as Ellie, so we were able to get all their hand-me-downs,
Oh,
which was
brilliant.
brilliant. So they lent us a twin feeding pillow, which was
Brilliant.
brilliant, like absolutely amazing to have for the first while. Definitely recommend one of them. And then we had the trip chat chairs with the newborn attachments on them, so that's how I feed them now that they're a little bit bigger.
Brilliant.
And then we'll have to move on to something else. So I just yeah, like I mean, they've started weaning now the last 3 weeks, So we're at that stage now of them weaning. So Charlie is a wolf, and Jack is kind of taking a bit longer to adjust to that. So
Brilliant.
yeah, and also the other bit of advice would be to, but I suppose this applies to all pregnancies, to listen to your own body and know your own mind, and like follow your gut, because doctors only know so much. You know what's going on with your body, and if anything's happening, like I've heard, like perfect example, not being listened to in the hospital when the baby was coming, and I've heard that time and time again. But like that applies to any kind of medical issue throughout your pregnancy. Stick to your guns if you feel like there's something that's being missed or needs to be done, and if your doctor doesn't help you, find someone that will,
Absolutely. And they're only human at the end of the day, and doctors are amazing and they know their professional side, but you know your body better than anyone else, and the mother's instinct is so intuitive. Would you have any advice, Judy, for a twin mom to be who already has a child at home like you? Is there anything that you'd recommend or advise to do in the last few days before you have your twins, or if you've one singleton left at home, is there any advice to do?
So like I did the whole like I bought so many books about new babies coming and read them with her, which she really enjoyed, and just kind of got her little things like that. Oh, the babies are going to bring this. Now, she knew that there was babies in mommy's tummy, but she had no idea what was coming. She was just that bit young. Also, as you heard, I was so emotional leaving her for those few days that kind of warm her up to the idea of staying somewhere. Like she absolutely adores her granny, and absolutely loves being in her granny's house. It's her second
Brilliant.
home. But like even for those few days, it was a long time for her. So yeah, you just kind of have to prepare for those kind of things. I don't know, like every day is a learning curve. It really is, especially with a
Absolutely.
toddler.
Brilliant. And what would be your three words then to describe twin mom life, Julie?
So juggling. Emotional, and love.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's all, Julie. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for
No.
organizing this. It's a great idea because I really did look for a lot, between my first pregnancy and second pregnancy, podcast wise, and I didn't find anything like this. So fair play to you.
Oh, thanks, Emil. Thanks so
All
much, Julie. It's been a pleasure.
right.
Thank
Okay.
you.
Take
Bye-bye.
care. Bye bye.